Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to our show. We are definitely going to have a illuminating discussion. I'm here with my co-host, Johnny Hernandez. Johnny, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Daniel. Thanks, man.
Do I make you laugh, Johnny?
Yeah, you do. Every time you say we're going to have an illuminating discussion.
And that's what it says.
Yeah, yeah, I know it is.
All right, folks. Well, we really do have a great discussion today, because today we're going to be discussing how millennials are playing a part in business today. And I'm sure in the world that millennials are tired of being focused on, but they are kind of like the baby boomer generation, really making a big difference in the way that we look at our world. And I'm happy that that's happening. And today we have a guest. Her name is Maggie Kay. She is a mindfulness leader, and she's a yoga teacher, a writer, a speaker. This young lady actually has traveled to Asia, to Europe, and all over the world, seven different countries, before she was 25. So now she came back. She spent some time in Los Angeles. She lives in Los Angeles, where she worked for Disney, and she worked for Turner Broadcasting. So she's had some corporate experience, and today she's going to be helping us with that whole idea of where are the millennials. She's also playing a very important role in my company as a part of my development team, and putting together a scalable product for corporate in the area of mindfulness. And this incredible content will be delivered at a national convention in Dallas, Texas in August. Welcome to the show, Maggie.
Well, thank you for that beautiful introduction and for inviting me on. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah,
no,
we're going to have some fun.
I wish you'd talk that way about me, Maggie.
Yeah, you have to pay me. All right. Well, listen, one of the things that's been going on, and you see the word millennials really showing up all over the marketplace. You see it, people are really paying attention. When it comes to corporate America, recently in the New York Times, I read an article that Goldman Sachs was having a really difficult time retaining millennials. And I want to kind of frame this, and I'm going to hand this over to Maggie and then let Johnny jump in. Goldman Sachs is an old institution. It's been around for ages. I would say many, many decades, maybe even a couple, 200 or 300 years. And I could see how that company might be kind of stuck in it the way that they've done business, because there's such a conservative company but yet a very powerful one. And having difficulty keeping millennials or attracting millennials, I could see why that's happening. But, Maggie, I want to kind of give it over to you and help us understand a little bit about why that's happening. And, Johnny, please feel free to jump in whenever you want. Maggie?
Mm-hmm. It's happening in all the organizations, not just Goldman Sachs. When I was at Disney, it was a very big issue. And the thing that I noticed is that we millennials, we want to be seen as humans, not just robots that are there doing a job. And that's what's missing. And, we want lives, not just careers. Our lives can be our careers, but we want more. We want work-life balance. We want to be listened to. We want to be seen, like I said, as people. And that's what the organizations are really failing to do. And that's what I'm so passionate about delivering, is us millennials are humans. Please see us as that. And when you do, we will produce, and we will produce happily and energetically.
Wow.
Go
ahead, Johnny.
One of the things, as I listen to Maggie speak, Daniel, and you and I have done a lot of work in the diversity space, and what I think's ironic is traditionally when you talk about, historically when we talked about diversity, when society talked about diversity, it was around black versus white versus brown versus red, right? I mean, that was old stigma. Then it began to transition into, sexual preferences. And I think one of the things that I think it's important for all of us to understand is this is just another deeper and more beautiful part of diversity. And we talk about not just appreciating and loving and contributing, it's about all of the unique things that actually make us special and that make us, as we come together as a collective group of individuals, a.k.a. a team, just to make us that much stronger. So, Maggie, I think you've said that just beautifully. It's seeing me for who I really am and for what I aspire to do and who I aspire to be. Respect that and give me an environment and a culture in which I can flourish. I mean, is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, exactly. We want, and when I say work-life balance, it's not just the ability to telecommute and work from home. It's actually allow me to bring my life into work and to see me as a human being with a life. So that's exactly what I mean. And then also, it's not us that is causing the high turnover rate. It's the failure of the organizations to meet us where we want to be met. So there's so many different components to this, and it's so exciting. And I love being at the pivotal place with you guys in delivering this to the world.
This is good stuff. Folks, if you want to jump in and into this conversation and add a little bit to it, give us a call, 347-677-1965. We want to hear from you. Jump into the conversation. Maggie, I just wrote down two quotes and sent it out on social media, one of them that I thought was very powerful. Both of them are. And the first one was, we want to be seen as humans, not robots. You know, and the second one was, allow me to, this is the one that corporate has a very difficult time with. And I think that some company, I'm not saying all corporates, because Google and Target and Aetna and a lot of companies are doing a great job at making this happen. But the second one was, allow me to bring my life into work. Allow me, millennials are looking, they want to bring their life into work. Usually, or in the past, it's been about that life and work are two different things. Well, statistics show that we spend over 73% of our waking hours at work. So if we spend 73% of our life at work, and that's waking hours, so they're still sleeping, that doesn't give you a whole lot of time for any kind of personal development or personal life outside of work, which, you know, that leaves a very small percentage for families and for camping, as you said you were doing this weekend. So we want.
Yes.
I think it makes sense that I want to bring this to work a little bit. Maybe not camping, but you know, bring some of that. Yes. What do you mean by bringing it to work? Tell me what that looks like.
Well, it means incorporating elements of the workday that fuel our wellness and happiness. So that means something as simple as regular feedback given from management on our performance and on our role trajectory. And that means something as all the way as spiritual as, let's say, bringing meditation and yoga into the workplace. Like you said, we work 70% of our waking hours at work. So where does that leave us in time to honor ourselves and the human being that we are? So it's really encompassing the fact that we have needs. We have basic human needs that in the current workplace that we have built right now, there is no room or time or importance in those being met.
Maggie, let me ask you a question. So Daniel kicked off with that very eloquent introduction about you and where you've been. So cultural, right? So we talk about some of the cultural makeup of the United States and our addiction to work and all sorts of other things that are unhealthy, and in some cases things that are healthy. What have you seen in terms of, let's just say, like, let's just use the example of work-life balance. What have you seen in some of your journeys across the globe, the difference between what we do here in the United States in outside of the work environment, as well as just, let's say, if you've had any experience in the corporate environment, corporate world outside of the U.S., what are some of the biggest dynamics that you've realized personally in those areas?
Great question. Yeah, I've worked in seven different countries, and I've seen the work-life balance dynamic played out throughout them all. And I will say, one of the countries I worked in is China, and they, at the time, I was there about 5 years ago, they were also struggling to find that balance. So United States is not the only one. However, along with Asia, they definitely live to work versus work to live, which I found in Europe is the case. They work just to live, and that's something that the millennials feel very strongly about. I have done some research into why this is, and what I found really interesting is the generations before us had jobs. They had industries to fall into. You want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer, you want to be a writer, okay, here's a job. I mean, of course, not that simple, but there were industries open to the new graduates. For us, we didn't have that. We did not have a paved path for us to fall into and get a job given to us. The generation after that has a technology boom. So for us millennials, for the Gen Yers, we had to pave our own road. And so in paving that road, we got to see that our career is not everything. Money is not everything. While it does sustain us and feeds our plate, it doesn't give us happiness. And so we have then chosen to find purpose within our work, and we have chosen to value work-life balance. So in the United States, that's like we've been talking about, hasn't been honored. What is happening here is the extreme stress addiction and the need to constantly be busy, 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 proving that you are a hard worker to your boss. And really, it stems out of fear, where the millennials are living from love. So this contradictory of love versus fear needs to find a happy medium in order for the millennials to really step forward. And we, by 2030, we are going to be 75% of the workplace. So this shift away from fear and into love needs to take place like tomorrow.
That's amazing. You said 70% by 2030?
75.
Wow, 75%, that's huge. So there really is a clock ticking as to companies. Well, the bottom line is, and we've seen this over the last decade, companies who are unwilling to catch up, get with the times, perish. And we've learned that companies that we thought would never go out of business are gone. So we do see that companies need to really take a better look. Now, last week, Johnny and I talked about, Maggie, this number that still baffles me, continues to baffle me, and is the basis of some of the content that I'm delivering nowadays, is 57.5 days a year people are unproductive in the workplace. That is enormous. That is enormous. What can we do, Johnny? This is for you as an executive. Mm-hmm. Having been an executive, what do we do to change the mindset? Because old habits die hard, and there's folks, you know, even today as I move forward in dealing with some of these companies, they just don't want to hear it. Johnny, you still there?
Yeah, I was waiting to see if Maggie was going to weigh in there. Actually, you know what?
Oh,
Daniel, we talked at length about this last week, and I think what's going to happen is you have a choice. You will either start engaging leaders like Maggie, and you will prosper. You will learn to speak to. You will learn to embrace the beauty of what she's talking about here, the humanness, the heart-centered type leadership. Organizations that value people and understand that if you lead with the human being, and of course consistent predictable processes, etc., the financials and the returns will come. That's just natural. That's even good energy, right? The other part of those companies that refuse to adapt and to change. Let's just draw a parallel. Let's just say, you know, use Kodak as an example because they're one of the easiest examples you can use. Kodak was absolutely positively convinced.
Yeah,
the good old-fashioned roll of film would never go away, so they refuse to change. Right? Our kids today, when you mention Kodak, they're like, who's Kodak?
They don't even know what that is.
That's right. Kodak not only was one of the greatest companies, they were one of the largest companies in the history of the United States. I draw the same parallel. If you refuse to embrace this and the way in which these young leaders are behaving and acting, the way in which they're raising their children, the way in which they're shopping. Everything's changing. You'll go the same way on Kodak. You can fight it as long as you want, and you can fight it until you put yourself out of business and or you flounder in misery and become a small-time player. Whether you're a small business or big business, this is for real. And when you lead and you engage with this generation, I would tell you, for those who are pushing back on this, I would tell you, if you were to embrace it and really tap into the thinking and the logic and just the lifestyle in which this generation we're referring to lives by, I can tell you there's a lot of older generations, Daniel, like let's say yours as an example, that could really learn.
Oh, thanks, Johnny. Yours. You're in the same generation. What are you talking about? Don't be throwing me under the bus with this group.
I got you. I have you, brother. You know I love you. But my point is, I think that there's generations older than we talk about the millennials and Gen Yers that could really learn and even maybe pick up some tips in terms of work-life balance and how we do things. And Maggie, God bless you. I applaud you for doing all the traveling you do. That takes courage. That takes heart. That takes all sorts of things. I think that's phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I
wanted to add.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so the reason that I think the disengagement is so high is because our personal passions are not accounted for in our job roles. Now, think about it. When you're bored, it's because you're not feeling connected to what you're doing. So you look elsewhere,
right.
Like you go on Facebook or you eat. So what if we were able to actually have management in the beginning interviews, when they're interviewing someone, or within the six-month review, ask employees what you're passionate about. What is it that you want to do with your life? What is it that makes you happy and excited to wake up in the morning? And if we were able to integrate that into the job role, I think that disengagement, that 57.5 days a year, which is 3 out of the 12 months, would reduce substantially, and it would make the employees so much happier, and the turnover rate that would definitely decrease.
You know what's interesting is that, I was just thinking about how people nowadays get jobs, and a lot of them are doing online application processes, and then they're being brought into the workplace. And one of the things that wasn't seen in my generation was they never asked about social media because it didn't exist. Today, I was just thinking about this. Today, they ask folks for their social media reach as a way to expand the company's mission or customer base rather than using it maybe as a tool to engage with their employees. I mean, I was just thinking about that. That's a big deal right there. I mean, what if companies engage their employees through social media rather than just use them as a pawn to sell their products? I hate to put it that way, but what about that thought? I mean, does that sound like something that would work? Maggie?
I think that would really change the game of social media in the workplace for employees. Because I left Disney about 9 months ago, and that was absolutely not happening. Social media and work were separate. So to combine them, I think, is absolutely where the world is headed, and I'm excited for that.
Well, it's one of those, if you can't beat them, you join them.
Exactly. And it goes along with the whole, we are humans, we have lives, we have our own social media accounts, we have a voice. So that goes in line with what I was saying in the beginning of honoring our basic human needs and our freedom of expression.
I love that. I love that. Johnny, anything you want to weigh in on that?
It's for me, what I think of is, what I hear is the integration of just say my personal social media, how I engage socially, whether it's through Facebook, Instagram, you go right down the list. If I'm in a position or I'm working for an organization that aligns with my values and my personal belief system and how I function as a human being, it's not incremental to the time I spend in my social media or my social marketplace. It's actually supplemental. Because if I really enjoy why I work and what I'm doing and the people I'm engaging with all the time, they become literally one and the same. It's just for a portion of my life, I'm getting paid to do the things that I love that align with who I am. And those types of things would naturally show up in the social media space. I mean, that's my perception anyway. And I think, quite frankly, Daniel, you said it just a moment ago, is that today companies are trying to put their best foot forward. I use the example of what we talk about, the breakdown of, let's just say, women in leadership roles. And I work with companies frequently that say, you know what, well, we do go out. We go out, we recruit women, and then they end up leaving without ever realizing that it's not a checking of the box. It's the culture in which you foster, and that these women who you recruit, you're bringing them into, in this case, a man's world, and how you engage in meetings and all these other environments in the workplace. They don't feel welcome. They don't feel invited. They don't feel like they can be themselves. They feel like the third wheel of the minority. Of course they're going to leave. If you run an organization that is trying to engage in the social media space, I mean, above your e-commerce website is an example, that you're trying to do it to click it off the box, it's never going to work. But if you surround yourself and bring people, and I use the example, like Maggie, into your organization, and you build this from the inside out as opposed to making some big corporate initiative, that's when it's organic. I mean, the spirit of social media itself is organic. So if you get these young folks into organizations that make them feel valued and they can prosper, I got to believe some of that would begin to happen on its own. I mean, unless you would challenge that thinking, Maggie. I mean, that's just logically where my head goes.
Yeah, I think what it boils down to, Johnny, is something that I think that we have failed to do as business entities or corporations, and that is whether it's women, millennials, baby boomers, Hispanics, Asians, whatever it may be, whatever group we're talking about, is there's a lack of follow-through in not just creating programs to appease them and make them happy, rather than bringing them in to the table, to the conversation, and actually listening to them and actually applying these principles. I mean, I'm going to go back to something that Maggie Kay said a few minutes ago. Allow me to bring my life into work. How do I bring my life into work? I mean, that's easier said than done, but it can be done. Why do I know it can be done? Because there's companies out there already doing it, right? And I think rather than creating programs, here's what happens in a situation like this. What we don't want to fall into is that 60, 50, 60, 70-year-olds are actually designing the programs for the millennials. The millennials need to design it for the millennials. They need
right.
to be supported by the board of directors, the stock. I mean, because at the end of the day, I mean, let's get really, really down to the nuts and bolts here. At the end of the day, if we have 57.5 days of non-productivity, and that doesn't mean necessarily just in social media. This is non-productivity, period. For, per person across the board, and we were able to decrease that number even by 10%, which, by the way, 10% growth in any company is a stellar number, 10%. So if we drop that number to 10%, by 10%, we would be creating profits that the companies haven't seen in years. And so what I'm getting at is that these millennials need to be brought to the table and asked, what is it that's going to work? Now, here's one more thing I want to say before we start to wrap it up. This is what I like about the millennials. It's not true about any other group. The millennials are bringing to the table mindfulness, meditation, yoga, things that bring them more in touch with themselves. In the process of doing that, it eliminates cultural relevance, cultural or need for cultural identification. Because when you get into spaces of these mindfulness areas or spiritual areas, the result of that is people looking for like-minded people that actually creates a need for oneness within an organization that is beyond race, color, and creed. That's the beauty of this group. That's the beauty of this generation that just excites me, because we start to get past the diversity conversation into the oneness conversation, which I think we're way ahead right now. But I'm way ahead in that conversation, but I think where we're headed. Maggie, any last final words?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you just said. Bringing mindfulness into the workplace is key, and that relates back to being mindful with one another, for managers to communicate and see their employees mindfully, which means, once again, seeing them as a human. And what you touched on with social media is millennials know much more about social media than our upper managers do. So we need to be asked. We need to be valued for our opinions and our feedback, and that's the missing step that is causing a lot of friction in the workplace and a lot of unhappiness on the part of millennials, is we're not being asked. Our voice is not being heard, especially even on topics like social media, where we have the knowledge. We're still not being seen. And so that comes back to being mindful with one another, seeing each other as the humans versus the robots.
Beautiful. Johnny, closing remarks?
I think you said it beautifully. It goes back to our leaders getting out of the chair at the end of the big table and putting themselves in learning mode and allowing themselves to be open-minded, vulnerable, exhibit some humility, and allow these young leaders, 1, 2, 3, 10 levels removed, to help shape their organization, because ultimately those are the folks that are going to be their clients, their guests, their customers, you name it.
Yes.
And Maggie Kay, keep doing the amazing work you're doing out there, because it's absolutely beautiful, girl.
Oh, wow. Thank you. What you just said gave me chills. The executives need to be vulnerable. That is huge.
That's big.
It, Johnny. Thank you.
That's big. Well, thank you, folks. It's been an enlightening conversation. Illuminating, as we said it would be. You guys have a wonderful day, and we thank you for being part of our radio show, and we look forward to hearing from you on any of the topics we bring to the table. And if you have any new topics, we'd love to hear about that too. Until then, namaste.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.